Integrity is the truthfulness that originates in the core of our being and permeates to every extremity of our character. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Integrity originates in the core of your being, and it permeates to every extremity of your character, your relationship, how you deal with people, how you do business, your sportsmanship. Integrity just oozes to every part of your character. And if you are rotten on the inside, then you will be rotten in the way you deal with other people, because you are a person of low integrity.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Building Trust in Relationships. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Building Trust in Relationships.
This morning, as we continue on with our series around relationships, we're going to be in the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 22. And this morning we're going to talk about trust, that if you are a part of any relationship, one thing that must be involved is trust, and we're going to deal with how to build trust in relationships. Genesis chapter 22, Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cut the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went together, both of them. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said unto him, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. As we come today, we want to examine this whole issue of trust. And we see that trust is the foundation of any relationship. As a matter of fact, trust is a two-way street. You have to trust others, and others have to be able to trust you. Now, I'll be honest with you. There are some people that I trust only as far as I can throw this building. And I'm usually a pretty trusting individual. But there are some people that are shadier than Squirrel Hill. And so, you know, you have to, you know, watch out for some folks. There's some folks that you can't trust. You know, there's some folks that you can't put your faith and confidence in. And by the same means, hopefully you're not one of those individuals that people cannot trust. You know, there's a commercial that comes on TV, that little Geico commercial with the little lizard, whatever he is, a little gecko or Geico, whatever he is. And they're in the office one day, and the manager says, let's try a little trust exercise. And so he comes over, and he says, let me fall back and you catch me. You know, he expects this little Geico to catch him when he falls back. And, you know, sad to say that some of us are like the manager. You know, we're falling back, and we're trusting somebody that can't catch us. We're trusting somebody that we can't put confidence in. And we're going to find ourselves flat on the ground. So today, I hope that as we are here today, that we would be challenged in our own area of trust, and we would also be able to look into the lives of other people to see if they are trustworthy. A definition of trust. I like that picture up there. Can you go back to that picture? That's trust right there. That's trust. For somebody to be blindfolded and throw a knife and try to hit an apple on your head, that's trust. And so what is the definition of trust? We see that trust in relationships is confidently believing in the integrity and loyalty of another person. It's confidently that you have confidence, that you can believe in that person's integrity and you can believe in their loyalty to you. That's trust. As I look at some biblical examples of trust, just to kind of capture some things in perspective, we see in Proverbs chapter 31 that we have a picture of the virtuous woman. And in Proverbs 7, we have a picture of the immoral woman. Now, we don't have time to read these passages of Scripture, but if we were to take time to read these passages of Scripture, we would see that in Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman, verses 26 through 31, she has great integrity. She takes care of her family. She makes sure her husband's needs are met. She makes sure that she's doing business the right way. Whereas we look at the immoral woman, she has no integrity. You know, she's running around in the street. She's loud. She's flirtatious. And she just has absolutely no integrity at all. In verse 25 of Proverbs 31, we see that the virtuous woman is a person of honor, one that is dignified, one that has earned the respect of others. And we see that in verse 21 of Proverbs 7, that the immoral woman is actually a deceitful individual, one that deceives other people. Now, here's what I wanted to do. Look at Proverbs 31, and let's see the end result. The end result of both of these ladies. And I just want to say that, you know, we have these ladies as biblical examples, but these can just as easily refer to men too. So we don't want the brothers to think that they got away on this one right here, because very easily this thing could go both ways. Look at Proverbs 31 and verse 11. Proverbs 31 and verse 11. It says about the virtuous woman, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. That when you are a virtuous individual, that when you are a person of integrity and honor, other people put their trust in you. But let's look at Proverbs 7 and the immoral woman. Proverbs chapter 7. Verses 19 and 20. She's talking to this young fool that she caught on the street. And in verse 18, she says to him, come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him. and will come home at the appointed day. Do you see the difference between these two ladies? That the virtuous lady, her husband was able to leave. Her husband was able to go away. And the Bible says that his heart doth safely trust in her. He could leave and not have to worry about Jody slipping in the back door. He could leave and not have to worry about Clyde slipping in. He could leave and not have to worry about somebody knocking on the back door. But this guy, his wife in Proverbs 7, he goes out of town for a little while. And she's a little shady. He can't trust her. And so I'm here to tell you, where are you at today? Are you an individual that's trustworthy? And have you surrounded yourself with people that are trustworthy also? Because some people that are in our lives, they are not trustworthy, and they are not good for us. And we need to be able to have discernment to realize when we need to cut ties with people that are not trustworthy. If you put up that next slide, how can you tell, before we get into the message today, how can you tell when trust is not there? Well, if you are suspicious about another person's activities, then that means you don't trust them. If you're always questioning what they're doing and where they're at, and there's always concern about that, then you don't have trust. If you question another person's loyalty to you, we talked about loyalty last week, and loyalty is that devotion, that commitment, that dedication, that they have your back, that they are looking out for you, that they have your best interests at heart. If you question another person's loyalty, then that means you don't trust them. If you don't believe what the other person says, if you sit there and you're always questioning what the other person says, there's always some shadow over what they're saying. There's a doubt in your mind about what that person is saying. Then that means that there's not trust there. If you can't depend on the other person, if they say that they're going to do something and they don't do it, and this is happening on a regular basis, then you can't trust that person. And if you are uncertain about another individual's motives, then you can't trust this individual. Vice versa, we need to flip the script. And we need to ask the question, are any of these things true of us in the mind of another person? You know, are there people that are suspicious about us? Do they question our loyalty? Do they not believe what we say? Are we an individual that can't be depended on, and are people uncertain about our motives? Do we always have some hidden agenda or some hidden motives? Today, in our text, we have a powerful text before us today. In Genesis chapter 22, I love this story, and it's an illustration of a father and son and the trust that was between these two individuals. Look in Genesis chapter 22, Genesis 22, verse 9. And they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the wood. That here, now, it's in your notes. It's in your notes, so if you want to read it, you can read it. But by all accounts, Isaac is a teenager. Isaac is a teenager. And according to some theologians, he could have been in his late 20s. So Isaac is not some little boy that's wandering up with his dad, and his dad saying, yeah, son, just lay down here. Isaac most likely is a young adult or even a grown man. And so here you have this grown man that his father comes up, and he builds this altar. He puts this wood on the altar. He ties this grown man up and lays him on the altar. And the scripture says in verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Man, what a powerful illustration of trust. That here was Isaac, and he trusted his father so much that he would allow his father to take this knife Now, once again, I reiterate the fact that he wasn't some little boy. All of us, Dad, what you up to now? What you doing, Dad? Get on that. Are you crazy? But he submitted to that because he trusted his father. Do we have that kind of trust in our relationships? Well, I'm not saying that we would let somebody drive a knife through our heart, but I'm just saying, do we have that type of relationship where we have trust, that much trust, in another individual? Ladies, do you trust your husbands like that? Husbands, do you trust your wives with that abandonment? Just I'm out there. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. You know what the word trust there means? Trust means, watch this. Trust means to put your full weight on. It means to put all your weight on the Lord. Do we, and once again, I know that in relationships we're dealing with human beings. However, you know, are we able to lean and put trust in the individuals around us? And if we can't do that, then there's a problem. And we need to begin to ask God to help us to deal with this lack of trust in our relationships. The first thing that I want to say as we talk about how to build trust in relationships is that you must have integrity. To build trust in a relationship, you must have integrity. Look at Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. And this is when God was getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he could have just did whatever he wanted to do. But God decides that before he does it, that he's going to share with somebody exactly what it is he's going to do. Verse 17, and the Lord says, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Listen to this. Listen to this powerful testimony. Not from Abraham's wife, not from his kids, but from the Lord. For I know him. I know him. I have confidence in him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of. God says, I know Abraham. I've chosen Abraham. I know his character. I know his being. Look at your notes. When we talk about the first point, to build trust in a relationship, you must have integrity. Listen to this. Integrity is the truthfulness that originates in the core of our being and permeates to every extremity of our character. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Integrity originates in the core of your being. And it permeates to every extremity of your character, your relationship, how you deal with people, how you do business, your sportsmanship. Integrity just oozes to every part of your character. And if you are rotten on the inside, then you will be rotten in the way you deal with other people, because you are a person of low integrity. It goes on to say, someone has said that integrity is the glue that holds together our private life and our public life. It keeps our actions and our words connected to the truth. If we are a person of integrity, we are individuals that's the same at home as we are in public. We don't do one thing somewhere else. You know, we got these chameleon Christians, you know, that blend in with the environment around them. You know, if you are a child of God, then you are true and blue. That, you know, Paul said, I become all things to all men that I might win some. He didn't say I changed my character. He didn't say I changed my conduct. What he was saying, if I'm talking to a teacher, then I got to talk teacher talk to that individual. If I'm talking to a construction worker, then I got to talk construction work to that individual. Paul, that's what he meant when he said I become all things. But some people think when he said I become all things to all men, that means that you got to do what they do. That's not what he's saying. A person of integrity. God sees you when you're all by yourself. Proverbs 15:3 says, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." A person of integrity, their words match their walk, and their walk matches their words. I heard a story about a man who had some last-minute cleaning that he had to have done in a hurry. And he remembered that there was a cleaner down the street that said, 1 hour, dry cleaner. And so he took his clothes down to the dry cleaner and handed them to the clerk, and the clerk said, "We'll have them ready for you in about 3 days. And the man said, "Well, I thought that you are supposed to be a 1 hour dry cleaner." And they said, "Well, that's just the name on the sign. It takes us 3 days to clean the clothes." I wonder how many Christians like that. You know, that's just the name on the sign. But what you do is 3 days later. What you do does not line up with what's on the sign. You got a sign out here that says one thing, but in your heart it's not lining up. That's integrity. You know, a person of integrity, you know, if people see you as being a person of no character and no integrity, then you think they're going to trust you? You think that a wife is going to trust her husband if she sees him always involved in some shady doings? If she's always questioning in her mind, you know, why he's, you know, involved in these shady activities, it's going to be very difficult for her to trust him. Likewise, how in the world can parents tell their kids anything? You know, I used to get into it with my kids all the time because, you know, my wife and I, you know, we had a set of standards. We had rules that we were trying to live by in our home. And my kids, they went to other places and they saw other parents that had other rules. And they were wondering, well, how come we can't, you know, do what they do? You know, their parents, just like your parents, and they let their kids do such and such a thing, and they got this and that. And we could have did that, but then it would have ruined the message. There goes my integrity. If you're trying to live a certain way and you're trying to have a certain standard and trying to have rules and guidelines that you want to live by so you can glorify God, and you're willing to let them go at the slightest bit of opposition, then you've got to question your integrity. Are you really a person of integrity? And I tell you what, as crooked as some people are, if they see that you're not a person of integrity, they won't trust you. They'll hold back on trusting you. The second thing that we see, if we're going to build trust in relationships, is not only must we have integrity, but we must show love to other people. Look at Genesis chapter 22. In verse 2, if we are going to be people of integrity, we must show love. It says here, God said, "Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Let's stop right there. Do you think that Isaac would have let his dad tie him up and put him on an altar and pull a knife and get ready to run it through him if he knew that his father didn't love him? See, in order to be in a relationship where there's trust, there's got to be love. And if we go on to read, it says here, "And take thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountain which I will tell thee of."
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Building Trust in Relationships. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Building Trust in Relationships, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Building Trust in Relationships. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Building Trust in Relationships. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.